Yeah.
Oh.
You need to just
Keep
come in.
pencil out there.
Okay. All right. But just should
I
switch.
just unmuted.
Okay.
Welcome everyone to our regular town council meeting for September. It is September 17th. It is 6:30 p.m. We're at Lot 2 Castle Valley Drive and also on Zoom. We'll do a quick roll call and then we'll open the with over public comment. So
So here we have Jasmine Duncan, Tori Hill, Pamela Gibson, Harry Holland. And in the audience, we have Ron Drake, the Llewellyns, Colleen Thompson, Avemont Homer, and online, on Zoom, we have Lori Simonson and anybody else? Is Lori, I guess.
Somebody's walking in the door.
Oh, somebody's coming in. Dart. Dart at people.
Carol, go ahead and open with open public comment. Any public comment tonight? Do you have any public comment tonight?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. First, this is mainly from the questionnaire. What are we, or is it just a regular meeting?
This is a regular meeting. This is a regular town council meeting.
Okay, no, I do not.
Okay. We'll move on to item two, approval of the minutes. From our public hearing and regular town council meeting from August 20th, 2025.
I move we approve the minutes as presented.
Does any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We'll move into executive reports. Neither John Grew or Obi are here tonight. So I guess I'll give a quick report on, or Harry can join me. We both went to the mock meeting today. The presentation that, so the Alex from the BLM was talking about, how well did you hear, Alex?
It was really hard to hear. It was similar to before we got our big microphone.
So
yeah, my
understanding is they're just looking into doing a restoration project on Castle and Placer Creek would be a joint agency type of situation, including the Forest Service, then may include like the analog type beaver dam stuff. And everything else would jumble.
Yeah.
But she is going to meet with us later in the fall and discuss it with us. And we'll learn more about that.
And I think she said they had done the same kind of projects in Pack Creek and on Mill Creek and had
so.
Pretty good success. I think that's what I understood. Or somebody said that. Maybe it went out.
They do a lot of projects on Pack and Mill
Creek. Yeah, like planting lots of plants, thousands of plants, and room-to-room restoration.
Well, yeah, they do a whole bunch of
Yeah. It was hard to hear.
It was.
Yeah.
The other reason that we went to that meeting was because the UGS was presenting on our water study, which we haven't even received yet. It's kind of interesting to me, but and it's not published yet, so they couldn't even tell anybody where they could go and reference it because it's not available. So they just went over some kind of a few slides, basically, with some water budget stuff. Yeah, I kind of, the one thing that just stuck out in my head that I wasn't totally pleased with was that they included, so they were basing some of the numbers of our water use off of, like, an estimate that John Grew gave them.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even, like, science. It was, like,
yeah,
he just said we were only using 50%, which is, we all know, baseline, nothing.
Right.
So I was a little shocked by that. And that was accepted.
Yeah, because somebody asked her.
Care with you.
Yeah. Somebody said, where did you get that number from?
Right.
And she said, John Gruden. Yeah. No, how will, how does John Gruden know
that? He just told us that. Yeah. So I was like, what?
Yeah, it was interesting they presented that as a thing.
Exactly.
As an estimate.
Exactly. I don't know if you felt the same way.
Yeah.
Because I was blown away by it.
Yeah. But she seemed to say that water outflow, the wells have been stable.
Yeah.
Inflow and outflow
the creek
seem to be stable.
The surface, the creek is down, but the groundwater is stable and has been for many years. Yeah. And we do have actual data to shoot to that.
Yeah.
But she did say that could change based on population or drought or,
mm-hmm.
and that the water is young. Really, very young.
I was surprised.
Yeah.
20 years, 30 years.
30 years.
Yeah.
Did you hear what she said? The water is very,
very young.
Young.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're looking at water in the aquifer that's maybe only 30 years old.
So she said something about that cycle. I didn't quite catch it.
Only, you know, about a 30-year cycle.
That's what she said. Okay.
When you have drought cycles.
Yeah. She did have a good presentation.
Well, and Greg Gavin, who was there on the Zoom, Google Zoom or whatever,
mm-hmm.
He'll be presenting to us hopefully in November.
Bless.
When we actually get the full report. I know myself and John Grew have already seen the draft, and we were asked not to share that.
Yeah.
So, and it was preliminary, and I think changes have been made based on all the comments that came back from the state and from, I think they have 9 other agencies or peers reviewing it before then it went through their internal review and then into their editing, which is where it is now.
Yeah, I find it interesting that there's no data, but maybe we should ask John where he got his 50%. I can see if I'm remembering right. They had
the only accounting we've done ever was when we sent out those water user agreement forms and people send them back.
Right.
That is the accounting.
Is it 50% of our rights that we're using?
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Paper rights.
Paper water. Right. So, I mean, that just makes anything. It's all that more important that we be accounting for the actual water use than if everybody them to count.
For sure.
That doesn't account for state water rights that some people have.
Right. And that's not accounted for either. Anything else about that?
Green County.
Oh, I guess we could maybe give an update on the water agent position that isn't filled. We had a very solid candidate who decided they didn't want the job. And we're looking at perhaps revisiting the description and duties and seeing if we might, how we might be able to work that out. So.
With that candidate?
No. So we'll see where that goes.
The position is still open.
Yeah.
Are you going to re-advertise it soon?
We kind of need to have it sit down and
got to sort out the description. If we're going to make changes in the job description, we need to do that before we like actively put it out in the app. So that's kind of.
Yeah. And we can probably talk about maybe a little bit more of that in the administrative matters. Talk about what's happening with the program.
Can you tell me the Wi-Fi password real quick?
Sign out. GCPL, Grand County Public Library, WIFI.
Okay.
Road Department report. Any questions on that? Anything you want to add to that, Egmont? Anything?
Me? I just work here.
I know.
I don't know, concerning Schaefer maybe, there needs to be some work done if we want to get bigger trucks through. The truck with the top got through and he thinks a belly dump would make it through too, but that's pretty much the limit. Those two concrete barricades on top of the main culvert up there, they are extremely narrow, and the ends of the culverts are exposed. So I was thinking of armoring that and moving those two barriers out by maybe 1.5-2 feet.
So we may have to limit some of the larger truck travel during the closure. We may.
Yeah, I do understand that, okay. But still, it won't be a two-lane road there between the
right. No, it won't.
So in other words, it needs to be wide a little bit at least.
If it's possible, yeah.
No, it is possible.
Okay.
There's mm-hmm. at least 8 feet of culvert stick out that needs to be on. And I got enough rocks to do that, so.
Okay.
There we go.
Good.
I do have questions. Since you want to make it two lanes everywhere, there's a gate that's not going to be two lanes down there where the turnaround is at the end of Schaefer.
We take the one post out. We take the one post out. Okay. The gate stays there, but we take the one post out and move a couple rocks to the side. I already talked to the electric company because they had to move their stuff also out of the way. So okay. if you look up Schaefer towards that turnaround, you see the extension of that up to the culverts up there, and that's basically one line.
Okay. And then the other thing, and a neighbor has commented on this, I haven't said anything before, but that concrete culvert right at Jeff Whitney's place and Warren Scott's, it's narrow. I mean,
that's
right.
What you were just talking about.
No. That's the one at Jeff Whitney's, and that's totally exposed and actually cracked through.
Yes, it is.
So we will actually fill that up and make a more pronounced bump over it, get at least some coverage.
But what about the size of it? Because, I mean, there's going to be some people that are not going to be exactly steady coming in.
It will be a tricky thing, but there's...
Will we be putting up any kind of reflectors or...
Delineators, yes, for sure. Yeah.
We're also going to be asking the sheriff's department for more patrol on Schaefer during this closure.
Right. And then here's the other thing. This is an emergency. Like, I assume this is going to, it's going to end by December 31st at the very latest. No?
No.
So the contract...
We're not even getting the culvert until December because of the lead time, which we'll talk about more when we get to that discussion.
Oh, well, said it. I thought the contract said it.
I know, and that's something else I needed to talk to. After they sent the one that I sent you, they had to update the time to have an end date of March because of the lead time on that culvert.
Mm-hmm. So when is this going to start?
Tomorrow, if we approve it tonight.
You mean they're going to close the road?
No.
So that's what I want to know.
That's what everybody wants.
We do,
yeah.
December is as soon as they're going to have. Okay. They're going to. We'll talk about that. I think in that line item.
Okay. The other thing was that because this is just an emergency, that could have been.
Well, this is a planned project, so the Schaefer Lane use of Schaefer Lane was written into easement. In a couple of different ways, for emergencies and for planned projects. That's what this is.
Okay.
This is not an emergency.
Okay. Well, still, my concern is that it's going to be open and everybody and their brother can come in. There'll be nothing saying temporary access, residents and contractors only. Are we going to do something like that?
Probably. Because we do have to probably limit some of the larger truck traffic. And so we're doing some preliminary work before the closure. Jocelyn's already put something out letting people know that they're having projects going on and they have big orders coming.
Right.
They better get them sooner than later.
Yeah. Okay.
Because we likely will have to close to some local traffic.
Yeah. So that's what I would like to see, that we get a sign up that says that this is not. This
yeah,
is not
we're a, just trying to borrow that flashy sign everyone loves to get from the county too, so that we can have some the digital sign.
Okay. Well, I just want to make because I know how many people because Google says
I don't.
And.
We're looking at it all the time. There's a few non-local people that use the road.
Well, I know we can't catch every idiot, but I would like to have a sign at least that says that this is just for.
But it is an open road. Like, this is a planned project. So any traffic that was using Castle Valley Drive, including Woody's.
So you're saying that you can put a sign up that says residents and contractors only.
I've seen facts like that.
Well, we see that all the time, but you know, I don't know the legal difference between saying and calling something a project and calling it an emergency access.
Well, this project was always looked at like it was going to be a planned project. Unless it happened to take the road out.
Yeah.
And it stormed.
But as far as the limiting,
we're going to limit as much as we can.
Okay.
We got our legal right.
And then we'll put speed limits there because you've made it so nice and smooth.
I can imagine someone trying to go 50 miles an hour down Sugar.
Some people go down at about 35, stop everybody. Oh, I live on it, so
I know. Speed bumps. Well, you just put them in the right order and nobody will drive over 25.
That was my other question. Thank you very much.
That will include everybody on the road too, you know.
Yeah, well,
it's also going to be a winter closure. So, I mean, we have to keep in mind that if we're creating speed bumps and things, we're also creating more obstacles for our plow driving.
Oh, yeah. That costs money.
You can plow.
Yeah.
It costs money.
Yeah. But this will all come together when we know when we get our timeline.
Okay.
Just interrupt for one. Is that Obi there? I know we have John now.
Oh, but John.
Is that you, Obi? The
541.
I think it is. But maybe not. Oh, well, sorry.
Any other questions about the road department report? And the planning and land, anything? Any questions about planning and land use for minutes?
I did, but I can wait and just talk to Bailey about that later.
Okay.
Since she's not here.
And Pamela, do you have any updates on the Utah Renewable Communities?
Well, I had a doctor's appointment on this meeting on Monday, but the one thing that we are working on is because hopefully this will get approved early next year, January, February, let's hope spring's eternal. But the committee has been working on trying to get everybody now focused back on looking at these plans that we drafted a couple of years ago and what we have committed, what each community commits to the outreach for the low income segment so that because they get a break. And I was looking at it, and the committee will be doing things like outreach to things that all communities have, like United Health or whatever, United, the charity.
Right.
United, thank you. And those kind of things. But we have said we're going to contact and coordinate with following organizations, Arches Education Center, Department of Workforce Services, Moab Center, Grand County Food Bank, Grand County Library, Grand County School District, Housing Authority of Southeastern Utah, Moab Valley Multicultural Center, Southeast Utah District Health Department in Moab, and the Utah State Rehabilitation Services in Moab. But we're going to hopefully coordinate with Moab and Grand County, those staff.
So we'll all be doing that.
Yes, well, we will be doing that. So if there's anything else that anybody comes up with, the committee has create a poster that we'll be able to put out in various places. And I think it's also mentioned that we will hang posters and contact information for local energy assistance organizations and high visibility public facing portions of the following buildings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's just to let you know that if you, something comes out and you want, that's great. I'll send this back around so
okay.
I can look at it too. Something comes up. But that's what we're doing.
Okay. I'm
waiting. Thank you.
John, I'll bounce back to you in case you had anything to say tonight for your report. Hillary and I have already reported on the mock meeting.
You're
still muted.
Yeah, I was just curious to know what happened there, but can you give me a 30-second?
Nothing.
Okay. So, hurry.
Nothing. It was 2 hours of our lives. We will never get back.
You know, and I had a feeling it was going to be that. Much sound and fury signifying nothing.
So one thing that came up, John, that Harry and I both noted was that when they were giving Aaron did the presentation because Greg was sick. It was a really good presentation, but she was, you know, when she was talking about the water budget, she was actually using numbers that came from what she said, just came from you telling them. And people were like, well, where did you get this? She came up with the 60% of use of water rights. And people are like, well, where did you get that number? And she's like, well, John Grew said they only use 50% of their water rights, and we added 10%. I'm like, well, you can't just use data that isn't data.
Hey,
and I was a little shocked by that.
That was a bit of a reach. But what I, and we'll have to get this corrected or somehow, but when Ford and Grandy did, when Division of Water Rights, headed by Casey Ford and Allison Grandy, did their study back in the 90s, early 90s. One of the phases of the study was to put these vibration meters on selected wells. What they did, they sensed when the pump turned on because they could sense vibration in the pipe. This is when nobody had pitless adapters and all it was typically a steel pipe coming out of the top of the casing. And so they recorded on these selected wells, these totalizers recorded the amount of time the pump was running. That coupled with a pump test determined how much water had been used. They did it for a year and determined at the end that on those wells, the amount of water that had actually been used was roughly one half of what the water rights were. My well on lot 83 was one of them, and my water right was for 6.05 acre feet, and the totalizer determined that in the course of a year, I used about 3.3 acre feet.
So that's where she came up with that.
Huh?
So that's where they came up with that number.
Yeah, it was good data at the time. I'm not sure I would present it as being, you know, the
current or accurate.
The truth forever, the truth right now. I don't think it's any surprise that people typically use less water than what the water rights call for irrigation duty. That's based on flood irrigating alfalfa fields, and people have drip systems and efficient sprinklers. So I guess it's, you know, I don't want to be credited with that data, but I can.
Oh, she credited you.
I simply told her where it came from. All right. Well, I'm sure that it will be lost to history here pretty quickly, but we will at some point want to make sure that if that's going to be quoted, that the proper sources are credited.
I think if we're going to use a number like that in our water budget, that it needs to be backed by actual data that we need to be collected.
Yeah. I mean, and that was one of the, Janae and I talked about this, and they were, of course, the water budget was comparing was using water rights, and there was some allowance. Again, if you look at the percentages of variability possible in the study, they're fairly large, and they have to be given the nature of the beast. It doesn't really change trends or patterns, which is what we're interested in.
Which was stable, except for the capital previous declining.
Yes, and certainly there were things that are known, like they were able to measure exactly how much water leaves the valley. Surface water. Again, it's science, but it's not perfect science. I think it's as good as anybody could get, though. And Cash seems satisfied with it.
Get the final report maybe sometime in November, and we'll see what.
Yeah, and again, that became the expectation. But will it be at a council meeting or a different date? I mean, I think
it's... No, I don't know. I think Greg is planning on giving us some kind of presentation, and I'm not sure yet if that will be at a council meeting or at another time.
I think it should be at a separate time. Because it's a standalone, it will take all the time a council meeting normally takes and then some.
Quite possible. And we'll have to work that out.
Right.
And maybe the time of year that's coming up isn't going to be super adequate for that. But we'll figure it out, and they plan to present to us.
Okay. Maybe I will email Erin and remind her where that data came from, and just okay. Sort of ask that it be attributed that way.
Okay. Obi, you want to add to that?
I'll add just a couple of things. One, I was the 541 number, having trouble to get on. I'm sitting here in Atlanta, Georgia. But the other thing is, I just say, even our own water budget in our water management plan, it's this approximation, you know, it assumes things like, well, the new users are going to use kind of the same amount of money, water as the old users. And so this is just an approximate way of figuring out how much water people actually use. If, let's say, they get 9 acre feet of water, they don't all use it. Many of them don't use it. But it really is kind of approximations using the best estimates that we can based on data.
That we don't have yet.
Yes, that we don't have yet.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to bump on down to our next report.
Did you have a question?
Did you have anything else?
I see a hand raised. It looks like Egmont.
No.
Hi, John.
Hey, Egmont. Yeah. I'll wave to you. Sure.
Go ahead.
If I could ask a question, okay. So that was a pretty limited data set with the wells. Was that only yours?
Are you referring to the totalizers in the 90s?
The totalizer thing, yeah.
I would have to look up how many wells were involved. I think it was in the range of 8 or 9.
They were pretty limited. But still a very limited data set.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, okay. That study was, like I say, it was the best thing we had at the time. We learned a lot from it, but it was limited in many respects. And of course, since it's going on 30 years old. So,
thanks.
I could look it up, how many wells were involved. But one thing I will say is, as I remember, that particular ratio of actual use to water rights is pretty consistent across all the wells that were sampled.
Thanks, John.
Okay, well, thank you.
Oh. Okay, Ron, Drake, do you have anything from the fire district tonight?
Oh, the state extended the stage 1 fire restrictions. And that had anything to do with Castle Valley, really, and that's for unincorporated areas. But fire danger, I've got listed as high, but it's the state says it's actually moderate right now.
I mean, are you going to do that at some point so that some of us can, burn something in a burn barrel?
I'm doing that.
If it's safe.
Yeah, it's the problem is safe enough.
But we have a good rain. But it, I mean, it's already dry. I saw, I think it's somewhere in San Juan County fire posted a fire that they just had even after all those big rains, like an acre and a half or something.
Yeah, it's still.
It's still those light, flashy fuels. They dry fast. So, yeah.
Anyway, that's it. We had a barbecue last night to find fire members and their families. And we had 20 or 30 there. Maybe 20.
30 pushing.
I didn't actually do a count. But,
okay.
But it was. That's all I got.
Yeah. And thank you for that. And then Colleen.
Oh, yeah. Can I get a copy of that Jeff one? Okay. So you guys have a copy of the MOU that they don't sign if you want that we email. And I don't know if you may have time to read it. I made a list of pros and cons if anybody's interested. And I also looked at alternatives in case it sounded too intrusive or micromanagey by the state. I looked at a couple of alternatives, because our big thing is we need some sort of archiving to make grammar searches and, data retention requirements possible. The free hosting is a Cadillac plan that costs, if we were to buy it, $22 per person per month. We have about 15 people with email addresses. I looked into, apparently there's no human beings at Google. they have government plans available. 3 weeks ago, I submitted a request for them to contact me to find out because there are no numbers online or information about it. I didn't hear from them. So 2 days ago, I started looking at Microsoft, which is the only other option that has centralized archives. And even though it was an awful chat, I got a human being and found out that we could get a simple email hosting with a archival backup for $4 a person a month, which is about $60 a month for us. They want to pay a year at a time for that discount. So I don't know if it's worth it for you or you want to go ahead and sign the...
Can you remind us what we're currently using and why it doesn't...
Right now, we're with HostGator. We're in the last few months of our introductory discount offer. We've been paying... it's $30 a year for everything. And that was a three-year introductory offer. After that, it goes up, and I haven't found out to how much. But the point is, there's no centralized archive.
And that's the main problem.
Yeah.
Other than everyone hates it.
That. Well, they hate the web. It's not, anyway, because if you set up an email client like Apple Mail or Outlook, it works like any other email. But the web interface is PITS. It's not the one I chose when we started with them, which they then discontinued. Sorry. Anyway, so it's either apparently Google or Microsoft. The county uses Google. Bluff decided to go with Microsoft.
I use Microsoft.
Well, this is for
I've used it at a business too.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, and I can, the deadline for signing the MOU is in November.
And then that's free to us just for a few years, right?
It's guaranteed through, I think it's April 2030, but we're also required to participate in all these five other security programs, which don't sound entirely bad, but it's like the state has total control over your stuff. I mean, if I wanted to add a new email account or subtract, or if somebody leaves,
yeah,
you have to send an email to them to have them do it. They are the ones who change the passwords, which is a good thing. With our own, I was like trying to tell people, don't change your password, tell me so that we have access to the accounts. But
But in just in case people wanted to look at alternatives, or if you have questions for me about state one, I've been going to all their regional conferences and webinars, so I know a little bit about it. A lot of the security stuff is really aimed at bigger organizations like Meowty. We only have 4 town-owned computers, really, in there. So it probably would not be that bad. And we could, even if we did our own email thing, for example, with Microsoft, we could still participate in some of the free security programs that the state provides.
The training and
then
all
the training and the monitoring. I mean, they'll do a test where they'll send a fake phishing email to all your users, see who falls for it.
We already get those every day from each other. Corey, can you give me a call?
Yeah, call me. It's important. I'm in a meeting, right?
Jeff, send me to an iTunes gift card
meeting. Anyway, I get those all the time.
So anyway, I don't know what you guys want to do. I mean, then.
Do you think they're being advanced?
Well, we should put like agenda item for that.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I thought it was from the IT report. Anyway,
we are at the IT report right now.
Okay, so sorry. So that will be an agenda item, I guess.
But
aside from that, not really anything to respond.
Okay. And we don't have to decide tonight, right?
No, but we've got a discussion about it.
Right. They did relent and let us do it, even though we're paying $30 a year. Matt at the county talked them into relenting and letting us in. So I don't know if we wait till the last minute that they're just going to blow us off or not. But.
Okay, I have a question. In any, whatever we decide, are we going to change our email address so we have a .gov?
We have. Do you want to wait until the agenda item to address that? I've already got our .gov domain. I just haven't switched everything over because I've been hoping by the email and then I could do it all at once. But also there would be some changes to some email addresses, like the BPA would be BPA app, not Colleen. So
Kim needs this name, my nightmare.
Yeah, the staff positions would be the staff.
Then the next person just uses it.
Yeah, that way we don't have the deletion and blah, blah, blah.
Great. And we'll probably have more questions when we get to
Sorry, I didn't realize it was an issue.
Do we have any correspondence?
No.
Administrative matters. I sent you that thing from the Utah League of Cities and Towns that was a request for mayors to sign on to that letter. And I was just racking my brain to know, like, what they actually did to help us administratively. And I called Jocelyn to ask her what they did, and they didn't do anything.
Well, they're bragging about it.
Did we ask them? Have we asked them to do anything?
Well,
I did it one time, tried to use them, but it was difficult. But they do.
The web stuff they do, I think we agree that you know they go lobby for towns and.
Yep.
But this wasn't really what that letter was about. I mean, they did offer to manage our ARPA money for a fee. Remember that?
Hey, yes, and we'll
look after your money.
And I'm not really sure like why the state needs to give us the extra $500,000.
Yeah, because they brag about we would be the perfect client for them. You know, really rural and small staff and all that. But if we can't get any help out of them,
then
why
are they getting $1.5 million for it?
Yeah.
That's coming out of our pocket somewhere.
Well, it seems like it was a form letter sent out to everybody.
It was.
It's like, you want my signature? Tell me what you're going to do for me.
Well, yeah, I just wasn't going to just find that.
And I'm not sure that letter didn't, I mean, that the second to last paragraph, it's like, we, the undersigned mayors across Utah, right, to strongly support this decision. It's like, what decision? I read that letter over and over. I'm like, what did you say?
They want them to have all that money.
The extra $500,000.
But they never say that. mean, I read that letter, I'm like, what decision were they asked to sign on?
Well, if nobody else is really strongly in favor of it, I don't feel like it needs it by much.
It might be worth, you know, saying, hey, we support your organization, but how can we get more help? Because we don't really get any help from you. I wonder if it'd be worth saying that to them.
Stand by. My attitude about this has changed in the last 48 hours.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other town letters anyone wants to bring up? Dean, just bring it. I think we already kind of are having South Creek Culvert update.
Yeah.
You can't hear me?
No, what is hearing something?
Yes. So somebody up there has their
TV
on.
Oh. It has to be
Obi. I don't know.
There we go.
Thanks, Obi. For a hearing gain.
Which is unusual because I'm losing my hearing.
Okay, administrator, what other, I was going to talk about.
Or a problem.
We do have a problem. And apparently almost every town that did Susan taxation this year has a problem. And pretty much all of us are being audited for our process. So
that we got from the state. We got our process.
Right.
Well, it changed in 2024, and I think there's some technicalities that they didn't like our process. And it looked like there were enough people who did truth in taxation who screwed up the same ways that they've taken it to committee. So who knows what the outcome of that will be. So Jocelyn is positive about this. I'm figuring out how to go back. We're broke to our skeleton budget. And we're just waiting for another time.
But the folks we just talked about, the previous thing, the Utah League of Cities and Towns is taking this to task. Because the majority of entities are they're not wanting to, or they have questionable certification with their taxing rates. So we're not alone.
So like how many?
They said they didn't have a list yet.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially since all of that information comes from them.
Right? Yeah, but there's some things I might have not done right. So I take full credit for screwing it.
Well, we'll take it together. We went to the same training.
And yeah, the long and short of it from what I can discern is that when we did the public hearing, it was supposed to be on its standalone and we had it followed by the regular
we're not sure about it if it was supposed to be in a totally different day or just if we were supposed to have a totally different, a separate agenda. Yeah, it's not technical.
That's the real, if I'd have just made two agendas, one for the public hearing and one for the regular meeting, we would have
done all that. That's just petty.
That sounds like it is.
No reason not to have the stay.
Whatever. But anyway, stand by because I'm going to.
Oh, yeah. We'll let you know as soon as we actually have a word from the state tax commission.
I have sent the state tax commission a whole bunch of information about all the stuff we did do, all the rules we did follow, and that we considered that when we closed the public hearing and opened the regular meeting, there were two separate things.
Whatever. We have to stand up and turn around three times and sit back down between me.
Or everybody has to walk out.
That's why I was circling back to the water agent job description. That might need to change depending on what kind of a budget we have for this year. Well, several things will need to change, but that being one of them, since we haven't filled it yet, will be one of the easier ones. So, yeah, we'll let you know as soon as we know. And any other administrative matters?
I think so.
That wasn't enough.
No. The only other thing is the hazard mitigation plan's coming together, and hopefully we have it skipped to FEMA or something in late October.
Definitely got it sent to our state review guy to hopefully attend our next meeting and give us feedback, and then go from there.
Okay, we'll move into new business. Item 6, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the Catholic Creek Culvert Project bid contract. So we had only one bid that was even close to being low enough. And the engineer has since worked with them and worked the scope into what is going to fit within the budget we've approved for. And you were given a Joshua sent out a breakdown, which actually will show you that it's possible it can it may come in under what we had budgeted. Yeah, it's possible. It's looking like it. I don't want to jinx anything.
Yeah. That was a crazy document, that whole thing.
Every
little process. Yeah.
Yeah.
200 pages?
Yeah.
I didn't quite make it through.
Oh, I skimmed, but it took a while.
And then the engineer sent out the document that, if we approve this tonight, that I will sign and get that back to them. And then there were the attached things that the Bay Brothers will need to do. And get back with us within, 14 days?
Yeah.
The main thing and the main reason we're going ahead with this approval now and not waiting for the final NRCS review is because the NRCS said to go ahead with this part. If we don't, this culvert is like a 12-week. It's 12 weeks out from the time of order, which is why this puts us into March for a completion date.
So if we approve it for now, then they can order it.
They can get it ordered, and then they can also, when they know when it's going to be here, start the preliminary work so we're not closing the road prematurely. We don't want it closed any longer than we absolutely need it. So they will then start the prep work, get the furs in, get that stuff done. And that way, as soon as the structure gets here, they're ready to put it in and get that finished up so we can hopefully get the road open. It may be even open before they're totally complete with all the armoring and stuff of the drainage. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. So that's basically the plan. So have that ordered and have a date of delivery, it's hard for them to give us a timeline so that we can put out to the public when that closure is going to be.
Well, we don't have much of a choice, do we? So I will move that we approve the Castle Culvert Project bid contract to, View Brothers?
The Bay Brothers.
Bay Brothers Construction.
Second.
Further discussion?
I've just got a couple of questions, just so I know what this is all about. On the breakdown of the cost, so traffic control, they've got about $29,000.
Mm-hmm.
What would that entail? And I would actually like to hear something about it if we have to do work down there.
Yeah, I was one of the things that we had discussed in meeting with the engineer and NRCS, and if that is something that they could whittle down, it will be.
So that could...
It could go down.
It might not be that much, whatever that means.
We all questioned it.
Yeah. And same with mobilization. What is that...
Thank you.
And I guess things like things like removing the pavement and removing the guardrail, is that something that
our road crew will do, or?
What we're going to do, we're going to pay them, we're going to pay them.
Right, like, yeah.
No, it's just part of the project.
Yeah, but that's something that we can pay our own road crew to do, if they can do it.
We could.
We could.
It doesn't make sense.
Okay, why is that?
Because I need you guys doing other things.
We don't take profit for one.
No, I know that. But we do have, like, you know.
Okay. All right.
And that was also, like, what? I can't read this.
Moving the guardrail, like, $3,500. There seems like just some labor stuff in there. Removing the asphalt.
Well, it's just all, it's all part of the.
Yes. No, I understand here.
Because it's a unit, I mean, they
right.
spend bid on these
yeah.
things individually.
Yeah. And yeah. we have sat for hours and picked at it to get it.
Yeah.
We have picked at it for, what, 4 months to get it.
Well, yeah. it was also, like, why don't we do it? Well, for one thing, this part of the, that part of the project isn't something that NRCS is going to match us on.
Hmm.
So it's not really, like, if it was, then I would be like, yeah, let's maybe use that as well.
Okay.
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 So,
but it isn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That's all I got.
Great. Okay, I'll take a vote. Obi? Corey?
Aye.
Pamela?
Aye.
Harry?
Aye.
And aye. Moving to item 7, discussion and possible action regarding resolution 2025-7, canceling the November 2025 municipal election. We didn't have anybody sign up other than the people that, there were no extra people.
So monetarily, I'm happy about that, but on a civic engagement level, this is, what, the third time we've canceled elections, and that's a really sad state of affairs.
And this is the last time I'm going to do this.
Well, hopefully somebody will step up.
I have to say, I think I've served almost 10 years. I've never been elected.
None of us.
Yeah. I was elected.
Oh, sorry.
The first time.
Congratulations.
24 years ago.
Yeah, they're not.
Not quite that long, but yeah. No, I know. That was the last election we had.
Right.
They're not supposed to be like lifetime appointment.
No. No, not even.
Well, they sort of are. I've been here 11 years and I haven't ever seen an election here.
Yeah.
Right. No, it didn't exist that.
No, we need some more civic engagement,
yeah.
even just to say, yes, I'm willing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I agree with you, but if I'd had to run an election this year, I think I would have just gone.
Oh, no. No, it's too much. And the $8,000, you know, we could use that somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think we cancel the November 25 municipal election.
Second.
Further discussion? Not that we're anything about that. Tori?
Aye.
Pamela?
Aye.
Terry?
Aye.
Obi?
Aye.
And aye. Item 8, discussion of possible action regarding approval of the fraud risk assessment. I had a question about why there's like top marks on some of them and they still get points. I'm not understanding what it is.
We did do, we don't get the points.
Then why,
don't get
why are they there?
Score.
It just tells you how many points that's worth
that
on that
file. We don't get it because we don't have that.
Oh, okay.
That's what that
is. I just figured it should be blank if you didn't get it.
No, that's what you get if you check the first part.
Okay.
Pretty much identical to last year.
Yeah. Only if we approve the fraud risk assessment.
Second.
Further discussion or questions about that? Harry.
Yes, aye.
Pamela,
aye.
Victoria, aye. Obi.
Aye.
Just trying to keep you awake.
Yeah.
Item 9, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the Memorandum of Understanding for the State and Local Cybersecurity Grant Program. Yeah, that was a lot of reading.
Yeah, and it was so technical.
Yeah.
And they didn't define all their acronyms.
That's funny.
Well, I had a question of Colleen.
Yeah.
She's still there. And that is, it looked like it would take kind of the technical person a long time. So what's the situation there? For instance, if we lost you, would we need a new technical person? And is it taking too much of your time?
Yeah, I'm only like the default technical person because
we don't have one other than
we don't have one. And I have pointed out to the council before that at some point you're going to have an IT budget, apparently not this year. Because even if we take the freebies, there's a lot of work involved, not a lot, some work involved in that. And if we don't take the freebies, then we still need somebody to figure out our stuff.
Or we still have to comply with state law.
Yeah, which right now is, we don't know if people are deleting emails they should be keeping because we don't have an archiving system. So, yeah, I understood most of it. And actually, the guys at the Cyber Center at the state are really, most of them, really nice to talk to and helpful. And when I go to their meetings, they're like, let us help you with this and this. And then you do this thing. And it's like, oh, my God, we're selling our soul. But actually reading it carefully, not that bad. But we are required to participate in all six of those numbered programs.
Like who? What's doing that?
Well, me for now, if nobody else steps up, I'm willing to do it. It does take time, and I only charge for some of my time because I'm willing to volunteer because I'm sick, but I like doing this stuff for the most part. But I'm not going to last forever, so somebody's going to have to come in at some point.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The state's willing to help with all this stuff, and really the only optional question on there was on page 5 or 6. Where we authorize them to be the emergency contact if our emergency contact person is not reachable. And that was the only option I could see that was optional in the whole thing. And not all those programs go till 2030. The email one does. Some of them are only for a year or two, the free security programs. But we're required to participate, and if they feel like we're not holding up our end, they can kick us out of the program. If we decide to withdraw from the program, we have to give them 3 weeks minimum written notice.
So we don't have to participate in the program?
No, we don't. It was when they first pitched it almost a year ago, it sounded great. Free Google workspace accounts that'll take care of this archiving shortage that we've never had access to, and they made it sound so great. And then last spring they told us, no, you can't do it because you're paying for your email already. I'm like, $30 a year, really? And then they relented last month, and now we get this, and it's like I feel like I'm signing my soul away. I would be signing.
But are the one directly like working with these people.
And I'm willing to be the contact person until I go belly up or whatever. So I did, and OB, you're not here, so you don't see it. But I did some research the last couple of days to see if we do have an alternative. Like I said earlier, prematurely in the meeting, if we find our own solution, it would be with Microsoft email hosting, and that would still cost us $60 a month instead of $300 and something, which is what
this would cost.
What they want to give us, that's the value of it.
Right.
Although there's so many features in there that we would never use.
Right.
We can keep doing what we're doing, but risk non-compliance.
Well, I think we need to take care of our archiving issue.
I know, I'm just pointing out.
the Microsoft does do the archiving.
Yeah, they call it in place. It is a limited amount per person. And while I was chatting with an actual human, you can pay more money to get more online storage, or they call it an in-place archive, whatever that is. And I said, well, can we download that archive anytime we want and store it locally and then free up that space? And they said yes.
So,
will the state be okay with that if we had local storage instead of cloud storage?
They don't.
Does that care?
Our only thing is we have to have all these emails available for grandma searches and for data retention. Right now, all our council and FLEC people are kind of on their own with their email, and there's probably emails people are deleting that should be kept.
I thought you were fixed that by having the access point here.
Well, I tried to do that, but it turns out the sent mail, I couldn't back it up, only the received mail. And the sent mail is what's most likely to be the issue.
Right.
So I thought I had the brilliant idea to fix that, and it turned out that too far. So
I only delete agendas and invitations, things like that are generic.
And like coordinating meeting times, right. But some people are, we have no way of knowing if people are deleting stuff.
Right.
They shouldn't be deleting.
Right. You don't know.
We should be keeping everything.
You have to keep transit stuff like, 3 o'clock's fine with me.
Well, yeah, but we all, who's going to go through there and say that one's okay to keep and that one's not okay? And,
well, exactly. That's
so we should just keep it all. Because
puts the onus on somebody. And
memory is cheap.
Yeah, and I need to find out. I have questions for them, too. It's like, okay, with the centralized archiving, what if somebody deletes an email? Is it still in the archive?
Should be.
I assume it is. But I don't know for sure, because I have not been able to find an actual human at Google.
Yeah, I'm not sure Google's the answer.
I am.
The cost really isn't.
I'm really kind of shocked that anything happened that made me feel more friendly toward Microsoft. But it has, because they say your primary point of tech support contact would be Google's help pages.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried that?
Yeah.
Yes. Terrible.
I couldn't find out the add-on cost for the archive if we bought our own Google Workspace accounts in Google Anywhere. And when I asked Google's AI, it said, I don't know what you're talking about. And so I had to find a third-party source doing a regular internet search to find out the cost.
Yeah.
Wow, for that.
So with the Microsoft that we have now, are we paying a...
We don't have to sign
up. No, I mean the programs we use, like Word and Excel. And
right.
Do we have a Office 365 account?
We could get Office 365 accounts that include this particular email plan for an extra 75 cents a month.
Yeah.
The applications would be online only.
Could we get them on downloaded? Applications.
It would be online only.
That's all.
But the thing is, most people that need Word and Excel already have it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, as long as Jocelyn has it.
Well, yeah, we have it on the Office computers. We have the
And we've paid for those downloaded into the computers. Do they get updated? And
they're not doing 365, but you have the.
We don't have a subscription for 365.
I have a suite, an antique one.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we may have to update that.
Yeah.
We're sorely needing to do that.
Well, also, I think we need to update our computers to it.
Yeah, to
11.
Yeah. So I've been waiting to upgrade my suite.
Did you check and see if the computers are...
No, I don't know how to do that.
I
but
do.
I'm working on it. Yeah.
Plus, computer just did a big upgrade to itself recently.
But it's an 11. It's got Windows 11, the plug.
Right.
The only two that don't are mine and
the so help her with that.
Doors
there's like two things you can do. If the computer won't do the upgrade,
you can manually initial it.
Or
trigger it.
No. It's not if your computer won't handle it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you have
to. I have a computer that won't. So they have given you like one more year, but you have to go in and manually choose an option to do that.
Because they're going to stop supporting Windows 10 pretty soon.
Talking about Windows.
Yeah.
I don't claim to know anything about how to do anything.
Oh, I'll help you with it.
So,
maybe a month.
It's a question or whatever.
But there's more.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're participating in these security programs, one of which is an automatic patching program. That was number six. I did ask the guys at the meeting, I said, I found this out recently. Our server is on server 2008. I asked Mike about that, our consultant, and he said, hey, if it works, don't. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. It made me so old that it's not as vulnerable to some, I don't know. But I did ask at that meeting, and I said, hey, our server is on a really, really old server version, and the hardware is, I don't know how old the hardware is. And they said, you'd probably have to upgrade that. And that would be some expensive, Mike.
Yeah. Okay.
So
that's
probably a good idea anyway. I mean, if that server's 2008, I mean, things do wear out and all of a sudden.
No, not the hardware. I'm talking about the
software. Oh, the hardware. Okay.
The hardware is more. I think the hardware might be newer. I don't know.
That's pretty old.
Okay. But that's another potential cost. And that's an F3D.
I put that on the cons. Because that's about that. So even though we're getting this free email and security service, there are going to be some other costs involved. They want to have one specified person that will be the go-between between them and the town. So that would be me for now, unless somebody else gets appointed or wants to do it. And maybe some system updates. You know, it's not free, but and what they're giving us sounds cushy, but. Do we need a Cadillac, or can we get by with a Subaru,
And I've always found that if you use different, like Google and Microsoft, and if you just use one, things work easier somehow. Like if we just use Microsoft. Yeah, but just in like daily computer life, if you use one company, their compatibility is so much easier.
It integrates.
Yeah, it integrates better.
But what Google has is just the Google Docs online.
Right.
And Microsoft has the stuff, the desktop versions of their apps.
Mm-hmm.
And they claim to interact, but not smoothly, as we found with the Dark Sky application. Right. Anyway, so I tried to put together the pros and cons and find some alternatives. Like I said, I've been waiting 3 weeks for the Google people to get back to me about their government programs. And I called Microsoft, or I chatted 2 days ago. She was going to try to get somebody to contact me before the meeting tonight, but they haven't. But they said they usually get back within 3 days. And I would vote for Microsoft if only because apparently there are actual humans there.
Yeah, that's a plus.
Yeah. But that's just me. So,
I don't think it's just me. AI irritates me so bad that.
And they're trying to shove AI down our throats for everything. And I'm like just say no to AI, just for the most part.
I don't think we have to decide on, I think all we need to do is decide whether or not we want to do the state program. And then when you get more information, if we decide we're not going to do the state program, you get more information from Microsoft about how this is going to flow, and then we can make a decision about the switch over.
Yeah, either way. The town is going to be spending more money on IT going forward, no matter what.
Well, 720 is a lot better than 2340 from Microsoft.
Yeah.
Would be 720 a year. Google is 2340 a year.
It would be free for 5 years, but the other expenses.
No, Google. I mean, Google. That's between Google and Microsoft, not the Utah Cybersecurity.
Well, cybersecurity is giving us the Google.
Right.
At a value of $322 a month, was it? $330 a month?
Mm-hmm.
You can multiply by 12. That's what the value of it would be if we bought it. But we would not be buying this Cadillac thing. And I said to them, if you guys are so concerned about your budget, because everybody has to take the same plan, right, that they give the free thing to. I said, look, all we want is like a skimmed down version of it. You could provide this to so many more small towns if it wasn't this
kind of like
everything in the world right. thing. And they.
What if the state changes their mind like they do?
They could. And
frequently.
That's good.
Things in the MOUs, they could change it anytime they want.
Yeah.
So it's not.
So they get everybody signed up and then say, oh, we need to charge you for this.
Right.
Right.
Well, no, they might, but yeah.
I think less is more, personally, as far as this goes.
I have a question for Pauline. Now, when we got our website, they asked us if we wanted. Didn't they ask us if we wanted to email with it?
I don't know, because you took care of the website hosting and picked a great host, I have to say, because they specialize in government.
Right.
And I've been thinking I should call them and say, you guys have to
do that.
Email too.
Because when I was researching web, whatever they're called, web hosting or whatever, there was packages that included email, and I was like, oh no, we don't need that. And
we'll
that might have been
revised,
you know.
So, I will ask
you.
Yeah.
Obi, did you have something?
No, but I just would say the state plan bothers me a bit, and mainly it has to do with how much labor we have to put into it, not the council, but who's ever the IT person.
Yeah, right.
And it may not be worth the savings to go with it rather than Microsoft. That's my kind of feeling now.
Just in my defense, I'd like to say I only found out, like, at the meeting in Monticello last month that we're required to do all this other stuff if we get the free email.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Which they had never made clear. They've been developing this program, but
right.
when they pitched it last November, it sounded like the answer to our prayers. I made it sound that way, and I'm sorry, but.
So I'm kind of getting the feeling that no one really thinks this is the best way to go.
Well, we should at least find more information first, because at your October meeting, it's still not too late to
right.
go ahead and sign it.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I would say we do more research and let this drop. If we decide we need to bring it back, we will, but it's probably not our best bet. Goodness. Thank you. All right, we'll move on to item 10, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the single-use drainage release waiver. So we're working with residents there at Castle Creek Culvert Project and ran into some issues with our old waiver with some of them. I had Lori look at it and work it to change, to address their concerns. And we've got it to that point. I've got word back from those residents that it's agreeable with them. We can add a wording about the access to the attachments that we've referenced in the waiver that will address concerns they have about potentially having to work accessing the area through their driveway instead of top of the valley drive. So you just need to get this approved as an official document to use. It's written in a way that we could use it for other residents as well. And I'm not saying we're doing away with our other single-use waiver that we've already previously.
And those two property owners are, well, would it be three property owners?
Some of them have already agreed with our other waiver. Mm-hmm. Which are also temporary.
Right.
And we have to re-up those if the project isn't completed in, you know, the time that they find it for, the 90 days or whatever it was for.
So this isn't just for the Castle Valley Culvert?
It could be used for other projects? It could be used for other projects.
What if there's a project that we need to do and the property owner says no?
what happens then?
It just depends on how bad the need is and where it is. And if we have legal, like, right to do it, regardless.
We'd have to figure that out. There's nothing we can put in here that addresses that in the future.
I mean, yeah, like, you would have to give me an example.
Yeah.
There's rarely going to be anything that we have to do on someone's private property.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, then it might be nice if we would be able to access your drainage here or there, you know, but.
Yeah. Okay.
But then those, we do have the other easement agreements that would address those more specific projects.
Right.
So you're looking for a motion?
Yeah, just to approve the use of this.
Okay, I move that we approve the culvert drainage work waiver and release agreement as presented.
I'll second.
Second.
Do we have further discussion? Take your vote. Pamela.
Aye.
Obi.
That was an aye.
Hey, Mary.
Aye.
Corey.
Aye.
And aye. Thank you, Laura, for your help on that.
Yeah.
And Laura, we may be having a new committee formed here in the near future, an official water committee, and probably going to run a ordinance by you that creates the committee. So I'll wait until we've, like, built some hours back up, but you let me know when that is.
Oh, no, that's totally fine. I'll double check. Do you have to create the committee by ordinance, or can you do it by resolution?
We've created other ones by ordinance, so that was just the way I was going about it. But if there's a better way, you can let me know. We've got a draft. We're working a draft ordinance right now.
Okay. It's just easier to do it by resolution because then you don't have to change your code every time. But
you know we don't have code.
I know.
One day.
Okay, yeah, we'll send you what we're working on and then you tell us what's going to be better.
Okay, yeah, no problem.
Thanks. Okay, we'll move on to item 11, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the roadshed loan payment for $7,774.99.
How did we lose a penny on that?
Come
on, Thompson.
I move that we approve the payment for the roadshed loan to the Utah Division of Finance for $7,774.99.
Second.
Anybody want to talk about that anymore? Obi?
Aye.
Corey?
Aye.
Harry?
Aye.
Pamela?
Aye.
And aye. We do not have need for closed meeting tonight. We'll move to item 13, payment of the bills. Or are the bills?
I'm moving to pay the bills.
Second.
Where are the bills? Okay. Do we have further discussion?
I wondered how many tires? 20, didn't this come up on the last meeting for the purchase order?
Yeah.
That was just, what, 30 tires?
Four tires for the backhoe and two for the truck.
Oh, good. Six tires.
Yeah,
that's way better.
Five tires.
Five. Okay, so. A little bit. What? Okay, taking a vote. Cameron.
Aye.
Three.
Aye.
Obi.
Aye.
Pamela. Aye. And aye. Okay, that's all we have tonight. Thanks for coming out. We'll do it again.
You haven't adjourned the time
at
the recording?
7:49 p.m. Have a good night, Roby. Bye, Lori.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.